T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Now we're in a transition a little bit. Mulligan Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the Score. We, of course, broadcast live from the Score Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Want to thank them. Want to thank Evan Thomas for getting us up and running and twitching and motivated every morning. And thanks to everyone for calling. A lot of good calls and texts and emails.
Thank you most of all for listening on this Thursday morning.
Thanks to our executive producer. He is a very unique person. He's Dustin William Rhodes.
Are we playing on primetime that week? I didn't even know that.
Amazon Prime.
Are we playing on Amazon Prime?
Thursday.
Oh, that's going to be lit right there. I didn't even know that for real. So, but, yeah, we're looking forward to who we play?
Bengals.
We're looking forward to the challenge. It's going to be fun, you know. And I can't wait to go against Eli Apple, man. I owe you, boy. I owe you. I'm here. The cheetah is here.
And Brandon, thank you. Thank you for all your hard work. Great stuff today.
Would you consider Ozzie Guillen a viable candidate?
No.
Because?
Because no.
There's a fairly emphatic no.
Because I said so. Yeah.
And we're delighted to talk to Dan and Lawrence. It's
hey guys,
Lawrence Holmes and Dan Bernstein.
Your guests are really good today. There was a lot of pithy stuff today. I thought when you asked Biggs that question about is it the quarterback or is it the receivers, he's like, look, guys, the quarterback's bad. He's been bad. It doesn't mean he's going to be bad. It doesn't mean he's not a prospect. It doesn't mean that. But he just said it. And then Baldinger's like, look, they're running on 3rd and 10.
I know.
Oh boy.
You know, and they are. And they're telling us everything we need to know about their confidence level right now in the quarterback.
It was strong. Sometimes people just have to say that stuff because we get so in the weeds on a lot of it.
What did you think of his demeanor? We pick apart everything with quarterbacks, but he, you know, we had a very interesting text. A guy said they obviously went shorter with practice, and the coach said that because of all the injuries they've picked up. They were going a little. Does that mean they were meeting longer? Does that mean the film study was even more horrible than usual because you would have picked apart? You're there all day. It's not like just because
maybe
you're
just tired,
not out
I
there.
Know.
I don't know.
Well, though, logistically, I think, though, Mully, to get back to that,
yeah,
I think that Justin Fields met the media before practice.
Well, that's my point. He met him, but they would have studied tape. Then he goes out, and then they go to practice.
Yeah.
So
you think they got him right after the meeting?
Yeah,
in a bad mood before he was able to let off some steam.
They got him right after he saw
before lunch, probably. He leaked a little
horror.
A little hangry.
You think maybe he just in the film session, they're like, yeah, you missed this open guy. You missed this open guy. Ball's got to come out here. He's like, all right, I guess I suck. And then he goes and meets the media.
I don't know. I mean, no, I'm just saying.
I think it's probably challenging him to the point where you cannot miss this guy. Or else, I mean, the or else is implied. Not necessarily you're going to be replaced. You're never going to get better.
Yeah, you've got to hit that pass.
if you can't hit that pass in the NFL. Open?
It's nice that you ran for 29 yards, but do you see this man standing here?
There were two of them on that play.
There were two.
In a smash 7 concept. You had it, and you didn't rip it. And you got the 29 yards, and that's good, but you missed it. Yes, I think that it's totally fine for – and Dan and I will have a discussion about this to start the show off. But it's totally fine to say what you saw. And what you saw has been bad quarterback play. And now the question becomes, like, how do you get it to be better? And can that work inside of the concept of each week those guys are trying to win games. And if you're the Bears as a franchise, and if you're Matt Eberflus, you're looking at the schedule and you're looking at the attrition around the league and you're going, we can beat the Giants.
Oh, easily.
We can beat the Commanders. We can beat the Patriots. The
if you can beat the Patriots, if you play according to what your strengths are, which isn't necessarily accentuating the quarterback. It's kind of minimizing the damage the quarterback can do. That's a really difficult balance to strike, though, for a first-year head coach. But that is the reality. You're right. And if you do that, you could probably win those games. The next tape that Justin Fields should watch is Justin Fields at Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
And to remember what he's capable of doing when he isn't trying to do everything according to the way he's coached and choreographed and tightly, you know, all these in this box.
David, are you saying that he should be you? Is that what you're saying?
I would put in those terms because of the connotation, but I think that
be better,
and be himself. Be the guy that they drafted based on the potential that he showed. Right now, he's a very mechanical, very deliberate, very tentative quarterback.
Unless pressured and running for his life, in which case he's
the instincts
athletic, instinctive, and exciting.
Yeah.
I worry that there is a bad game out there if he's trying to be the robot they're interested in him becoming.
Especially against this Giants team that's going to dial up some exotic stuff. And in a perfect world, just steamroll him. Let Wink Martindale move his game. You want to do all those end tackle twists and all that? I don't care. Just somebody is going to be in another. If that guy's in another uniform, just shove him backwards. Let him play their games. Let him do that. Let him get their wide nines and all that. Just push him back.
Yeah, I agree with that, Dan. But I do think that this is what I don't want to happen in terms of the perception that's beginning to form here. I don't think that Justin Fields is tentative and deliberate and all of these things overly mechanical because the scheme is so
no.
They're throwing so much at him.
No, they're not.
Don't think that this scheme is that difficult or complex at all. They're doing the basics. He's not grasping those right now. So I think that maybe last year in the first season, you could look at Matt Nagy and this was, you know, the 300 level course and this was the fourth chapter of this great playbook and look at all these plays. But I don't think that Luke Getsy has taken that approach and thrown all that much at Justin Fields.
They're simple plays that are being missed at this point. And frankly, I think as much as everyone has kind of criticized and booed the end of the half and the fact that they did win that game. And you got to go back to the idea that let's say they started using those timeouts. What if they turned the ball over? What if they gave up a field goal or, God forbid, a touchdown?
Yeah, but Mully, I don't want my coach coaching that way. That's how the other guy was coaching last week.
They won the game because they coached that way. I'm not saying it's right, but the object of the game is to win the game. And I worry that if they try to do things that the quarterback is apparently not ready to do, they'll come into some serious issue.
I just think that whenever you end up coaching risk averse, you end up making mistakes.
Well,
and you end up looking like the late Lovey Bears and the Lovey Texans.
If you play the same way against the Giants, though, you could win the game. If you try to be something you're not, you're going to lose the game. I think this is a game in particular that they could win or lose by a field goal.
And I think they're risk averse only because of the limitations that they didn't expect to see from Justin Fields. I think when Justin Fields is playing at the level that he's capable of playing at, which he's yet to meet this year or reach this year, I don't think this is going to be an overly conservative or cautious coaching staff. I don't think Getsy is wired that way.
I don't know, David. I think that if you look at Matt Eberflus and even just the concept of him not being a coach that blitzes almost ever, I think there's already some of that conservative coach in there. Now, the beauty of it is that defense can make it so that other teams have to go 12 plays, 79 yards to score on you. And can they do that without an explosive? If you don't bust on defense, are they going to have an explosive play that's going to eat up a chunk of those yards? I think it's in Eberflus to be conservative. And it's going to be up to Justin Fields to show him I can handle you going deeper into this and allowing me to try to drive the ball down the field.
And scoring situation is going to have a lot to do with it, too. If you have a lead, it's going to be different than if you're chasing. And Dave Wanstead yesterday with Spiegel and Parkins was great.
Spiegel and Parkins.
That he said that no matter what else is going, no matter what, you coach to win the game. You plan to win the game. It's even if you're trying to develop people, even if you're rebuilding, no matter what. And that's going to mean at some point Eberflus is going to need Justin Fields, not be able to just dial him down. At some point, say, look, kid.
That's the thing about the Green Bay game. You know, they trailed in that game. That second quarter turned on them, and they came back and ran the ball. And with 8 minutes left, they could have drawn within one score. That was what they were trying to do. They weren't trying to air it out, and they weren't following what you're supposed to do in that situation.
And I also think you got to remember that this coaching staff, and Eberflus probably does skew a little bit toward the more conservative head coach, but the defensive approach is also because they've got two rookies in the secondary. And even so, you have a conservative approach, which by definition is sort of the cover 2-4-3, you know, single gap scheme, all those things, bend, don't break.
And he's even more conservative than that.
Yeah, because
like if you look at his blitzing, now what's that number, 1.6% of the time he's blitzing?
They're not going to do that. They're not going to put these cornerbacks on an island. They're not going to isolate their defensive backs in man coverage any more than they have to. But I almost understand that more defensively than I do, you know, the offensive approach. I think we expect him to be conservative defensively because he has a track record. Offensively, we're learning what he is because Luke Getsy is calling the plays, and we don't really know what he is except for what he did in Green Bay, and he didn't call the plays there.
And then there's the concept of complementary football, that if you are going to be that team that is fairly conservative defensively, then your offense has got to not put you in bad situations.
That's it.
And I'm wondering what they're going to do. And Dan and I were discussing this yesterday. Their kickoff return game has got to be more conservative,
too.
We
talked about that, too. Listen, their kickoff return game is absolute garbage. And they're putting themselves in a hole. You can't play a field position game if you're starting as deep as they are. But teams aren't kicking. They're kicking to force returns. Maybe Velus Jones helps.
Well,
Dave was very nervous about that, though.
He's nervous because he's nervous about a lot of things. He's a coach, right?
Yes.
But I think Velus Jones was drafted to make sure that you try to win as many field position battles as you can.
But I think we all have to be realistic about what this team is and how they look. And we have to understand that maybe they can win some games this way. Maybe they can get to 3-1. Maybe they can win. They can stack a few wins. But they're never going anywhere as long as they play that way. And we all know that.
That's, Mully, that is the best point I've heard on this discussion through the last week. That, sure, it's going to feel good on Mondays when you look up and the Bears are 5-2 or whatever. But what does that 5-2 actually mean if you can't cash in and say we are a legitimate Super Bowl?
It means your coaching staff is the right coaching staff.
That's what it means.
Because you're not. That's right. You go back to when he was hired and throughout the preseason, the whole rhetoric is not, boy, this team is thinking Super Bowl. It's like, this team's got to be respectable. They're one of the worst in the NFL, right?
Oh, yeah.
So they have gotten to that point to where we are now, where you have a guy like Brian Baldinger coming on and saying, you have to like the way this team is coached. That's progress, folks. I don't care what your record is. You've got to like what you're seeing.
But again, when you tell people, hey, you know, they now have competent coaching, that everyone looks at you like you got six heads. Is that where the bar is?
Yes.
It is here.
It is here. For now.
Well, for now.
Absolutely for now.
But everything is incremental. That's why you don't apologize for being 2-1, and that's why you would celebrate being 3-1 no matter how ugly Sunday might be.
Right. Worst 3-1 in history. That's awesome.
That's all right.
Yeah.
We've seen it before with the Bears in recent years where you looked up, what were they, 5-1? And then they played that Monday night game. And then it's like, oh, yeah, they're terrible.
And Lovie Smith started 7-1, I think, and got fired that year because of the way they finished in 2012.
10-6.
So he was 10-6. Those were the days.
How about that?
How are you celebrating life today, guys?
Well, we are going to start talking some Bears and the reality of the Bears. That will lead us into some MLB stuff. keeping an eye on your White Sox, huh? How about that?
They're going for it. They're going to lose out, baby.
Yeah, they should be really proud.
David, is the math right that if the Cubs win out and the White Sox lose out, they finish with the same record?
I need to double check the math, but I do think that's conceivable. I do think that's within the realm.
If anybody made that wager, God bless them. That would be fantastic.
Jason Leisure is going to talk Bears with us. Paul Charchian will set up your fantasy team with that game tonight. Guess who's back at noon?
Shady?
Matt Bowen.
Oh, get out of here.
Back as a score analyst. Bowen. Everyone does. And we broke fantastic. The news yesterday.
Awesome.
Matt Bowen will be back analyzing the Bears and the NFL for us. So we're incredibly excited about that.
What a great dude.
And we're going to have something fun for high noon, too.
And yes, with seven games left for both teams, Lawrence, the math, the Cubs have 86 losses right now. If they won the rest of their games, they would still have 86 losses. And if the White Sox lost the remainder of their games, they would have 86 losses.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's delicious.
It's something to play for.
So there's Mully. They're so stupid. They're so. Oh my God! Like they're so stupid. Ah!
Have a great show, guys.
I love it.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.